from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
It's not frustrating at all, you know. It's a long time until we got to put on the uniform and play a game. It's mandatory minicamp. You know, I'm glad guys are here. We're working hard. Guys are making plays, offense and defense, both sides. So we're just having fun out here playing and flying around, trying to get on the same page. Obviously, some new concepts that we got in that it's good to put that on tape and talk through it right now. But, yeah, no frustrations at all. We're playing football.
There's Josh Allen. It's a chance to speak to the media today. Word on the street is yesterday's practice sloppy, a little bit more crisp today for the Buffalo Bills. We welcome in from 13WHAM Sports at BuffaloPlus.com. Dan Fates with his report. Is that accurate to say that yesterday a little bit sloppy, a little bit more precise today out of the Bills offense, Dan?
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. Yesterday was rough, and it comes on the heels of, you know, the OTAs not looking super sharp, but again, you're saying it's OTAs, what's the big deal? Today looked much, much better. Again, low bar to clear from the last few days, but we were close enough to hear Joe Brady have some choice words, I'll say, yesterday. And again, it's June. Nobody overreact, but it was much better today. Josh hit Keon Coleman on a deep ball down the sidelines. He hit KJ Hamler on a deep ball. There was more juice and energy. It felt like for the first time this offseason, again, at just OTAs and minicamps, that the Bills' offense was sharp.
Yeah, and Dan, I ask you this question because I know the Bills have their rules as far as you know, who's playing with the ones or twos. And again, it's only minicamp. It's only June. But I'll ask it this way. You mentioned Coleman. You mentioned the pass to Hamler. Can you tell if Josh Allen is developing chemistry with any of these new receivers?
Yeah, I think it's working well with Keon. You can see him throwing a lot. And a lot of times, too, what stands out to me, and it's not even just in the routes of like this 11-on-11 or 7-on-7, it's who he throws to during individual drills. So it's like, who are you seeing? Like, Chase Claypool has really flashed and has made a lot of plays as a wide receiver for this team, but they've all been with balls thrown from Mitch Trubisky. We haven't seen Josh throw to Chase Claypool all that much. We've seen some plays with Keon. I've really liked Keon's strong hands. I think he catches the ball and has really strong hands for a rookie. Obviously, Shakir wasn't there today. We've seen a couple of passes to Curtis Samuel. I think that's a little more underneath that we've seen, but not a ton. Again, today was the first day that things seemed to go well. So besides the Kincaid, the Shakir things that we've seen and kind of expected, nothing really too outstanding. A couple times yesterday, he had some conversations with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, kind of going through, talking with him after plays of, this is what I want to see, this is what I want you to do. So again, developing it, but nothing has really flashed so far at minicamp or OTAs.
On the defensive side of the ball, Dan, we've heard some pretty good reports out of the play of Kair Elam. Talk about his offseason here, because it seems like a new coach, new Kair.
Yeah, and I also think it's maybe a little bit of John Butler not being there. I don't know how much we want to read into that, but he just seems more confident in himself and what we've seen. Also, he's benefited. I know it's a weird way of saying this, but we used to talk about, you know, when DeMar Hamlin would get reps, if Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer wouldn't be at OTAs or minicamps because of whatever reason. They're veterans. They don't need to. I think he's benefited from Rasul Douglas not being at OTAs. Him getting reps with the ones has been beneficial. Christian Benford has been excused for family reasons from this minicamp. So he's gotten a lot of run early on in this play. And he had an interception yesterday. He had a nice interception today. And Bobby Babbage was fired up. And not only that, Sean McDermott was fired up. As Kair ran the ball all the way back down the field. And as he's going back over to the sidelines, like, Sean McDermott kind of cut him off to kind of show him how excited he was. This is a guy that, again, has had to learn what it's like to struggle for the first time, and you're struggling at the NFL level. Like, this is a guy that has, and he's been open about it. And he talked earlier during this offseason of, like, didn't really know how to handle it. And this is a guy who comes in first-round pick, like, oh, he's just going to pencil him in next to Trey White and all these things. And that hasn't been the case. He's flashed at times, but this just looks like, I kind of joke that this is a time to, you know, get off the pot or, you know, kind of make a move here this season. And so far this offseason, he's really flashed in a couple of plays that makes you go, oh, like, that's what Kair could really do.
Tied to Dan Fates, 13 Wham, Buffalo plus. Sticking with the secondary, Dan, because as we're kind of looking ahead, the training camp at Fisher, your early assessment of the safeties here, because it could be Mike Edwards, it could be Taylor Rapp. I've heard, and you've been there. What about DeMar Hamlin? Sounds like he's had a pretty good minicamp.
Yeah, I'll say Mike Edwards is kind of behind the eight ball right now, just because, and Sean McDermott's talked about the injuries and all these things. Like, Mike Edwards, I thought, was a guy like, well, you're signing him to be a starter, and between injuries, and then you kind of look back, and Mike Edwards has kind of been a spot starter backup most of his career, and I've never worried about the safety position strictly because of Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage, you knowing they can coach up guys. To me, there's been singing praise for Taylor Rapp. Sean McDermott kind of talked yesterday, while there aren't roles defined right now, obviously we're not at training camp yet, he has kind of assumed a leadership role in his second year in the defense, and kind of knowing what to expect now and kind of being able to step up. So he's been a guy that I think has emerged, as well as a DeMar Hamlin. Like, he's just made plays. We're not talking about how he is mentally and how he is health-wise. Like, now he's just back to playing football. And again, this was a guy that had 90-something tackles when Micah Hyde got injured 2 years ago with the neck. Like, this dude can play football. We just haven't really seen it. And then Cole Bishop's a guy that I think we're going to talk about more as this comes, you know, into training camp and on, but they're just not going to rush these rookies in spots. Like, don't be surprised if you show up to a training camp practice and Keon Coleman is not out there with the first team offense. They don't necessarily just throw these guys in it. I always remember last year when we were talking to Dalton Kincaid, or talking to Sean McDermott about Dalton Kincaid, and he's like, guys, can we let him put on a helmet first, like, before we start talking about what fantasy stats he could have and all this stuff. So those guys, I think, will come along in time, but I really think that if the practice started tomorrow, if there was a game tomorrow, I really think you'd be looking at DeMar and Taylor Rapp as the safeties. Wow.
Dan, you used a word to describe today's offensive performance. You mentioned that they had a little bit more juice, and I love using the word juice to describe the Bills' offense, because it was something that, you know, Josh Allen has always said that Stephon Diggs brought to the Bills' sideline. He brings juice. He brings that juice, that energy. Who's replaced Stephon Diggs in bringing the juice to the Bills' offense?
Ooh, good question. As of right now, I'm not really sure. And if it is one guy, it's probably not a guy you think of, because it's probably Mac Hollins. Mm. He's the guy that you hear the most. And Dawson Knox talks about him today of, like, he's brought so much energy. We're going to sit down with Mac. I'm going to sit down with Mac Hollins at the start of training camp. He may be the most interesting player I've ever seen. He doesn't wear shoes. He doesn't use utensils. He eats with his hands. Like, he is a strange bird. But he's a guy that I have heard his voice a lot. It's a loud voice. He's a guy that every single pass that he catches in individual drills, he runs all the way to the end zone. He's screaming, "I'm so expletive fast." And he's chasing guys. He's pushing guys. He's telling Keon, "Hey, that's not how we do this." Yesterday, Zach Davidson caught a touchdown in one of the drills and was twerking as a celebration to, like, it was the one play the offense made. And he came to the sidelines, and all the tight ends are, you know, Dawson and Dalton, and all these guys are high-fiving him. And you got Mack in the sidelines going, "Don't high-five him. No. Like, that, we're not twerking in the end zone. You're not getting applause for that." Like, he's the kind of guy that has been that leadership role. Now, that, my caveat is, and Mike and I talked to Justin Schroeder yesterday, a guy a lot of people have interest in, and he talked about how Mack Hollins is teaching him so many things. That's great. Mack Hollins is a veteran. But I always remember when Khalil Shakir got drafted, and he's like, "I grew up watching Stephon Diggs." Like, Stephon Diggs is a guy that you can learn a lot from. Mack Hollins, you can learn some intangibles and some things, but the juice part, the intensity, and I know people don't want to talk about Stephon Diggs anymore. I get it. But he was an alpha. He's a guy that they always talked about, like you said, the intensity at which that guy practiced at raised the level of everybody around him at practice. He brought intensity. You sat up straight. Maybe because you were afraid that he was going to be a diva, whatever, but they're still trying to find that role. Josh has been a great leader in that category of franchise quarterback, all those things, but it's a matter of, can he now be the guy that he may have to get in Curtis Samuel's face on the sidelines and say, like, "Hey, pick it up, guys. We've seen Tom Brady do it." You see, you know, Philip Rivers and Peyton Manning and those guys over the years are not afraid to get in their teammates' faces and say, like, "This isn't acceptable." Guys, remember that clip of Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday getting into it?
Yeah.
And he was like, "Just snap the damn ball." Like, those are the intensities that, well, Diggs never had those kind of outbursts. It was that alpha mentality. Travis Kelce, you saw Patrick Mahomes get into it with wide receivers. That's what we are kind of trying to still figure out. This is a new transition for Josh Allen, and it's also the first time that I don't think there's ever will be more put on Josh's plate from a leadership standpoint, partly because they're all new wide receivers, and Josh holds himself to a very high standard. He now also has to hold his teammates, in my opinion, to that high standard.
Dan, I think you're onto an interesting topic here, because we could talk about the safety and Kyrie Elam and all these other things, but ultimately, if Josh Allen, and we've seen the MVP level of Josh Allen, yep, but if he is actually the MVP of the league, who knows how far this team can actually go. So, you know, great analysis there on, you know, Josh and, you know, and him, you know, with Diggs out of the way. But what have you noticed about just kind of the play of Allen here, you know, in these 2 days? Because I think it's important that Josh Allen, he's been in the league how many years now, continues to evolve his game.
Yeah, he's tweaking some things with his throwing motion he talked about yesterday. It's not revamping. He talks about, and again, this is probably over most of the audience's head, it's over a lot of my head when he talks about stride and the biomechanics, but he talked about just the fact of last year, whether it was his elbow or his shoulder, his body kind of morphs into, okay, to alleviate pain and to cover up, you kind of drop your arm slot, you throw these things, and well, he wouldn't make that an excuse. We always talk about excuses and reasons, that there were some bad habits kind of that he picked up because of you're trying to cover up the injury. And maybe that was part of why he was inaccurate at times, maybe at times at the end of the second half of last season. So he's trying to tweak himself, get him back into what he wants. He talks about the ball being a little higher, where all these placements are, because he joked yesterday about the fact of watching himself throw at Wyoming. It's completely different. And he said about golfers, you go through different swings and you evolve and all of these things. And he's like, "I watch myself at Wyoming," and it's like, "Ew, that's disgusting. Like, what is that? What is that throwing motion?" He's come a long way. He's an anomaly, a guy that has became more accurate from college. He's a unicorn, a guy that he said, well, if you're not accurate in college, you can't be accurate in the NFL. He's changed that. He has completely bucked that trend. So it's impressive to see that. But again, I'm with you, Gene. You got to keep progressing. It's great to be, I think we would all unanimously agree that he's the second best quarterback in the league. But you can't just sit there and be like, well, I'm the second best quarterback, so that's it. And he talks about holding himself to a high standard, all those things. Better today, but I think he is still trying to figure out this new throwing tweak, as he called it. It's not a revamp. It's a tweak. It's small adjustments. But the one day, he was throwing passes with all these sensors around him inside the field house for like a half hour after practice. He's really trying to work that through. So, again, Josh is trying to evolve in his game because it may not be deep shots. There's no Gabe Davis right now on this team that's going to take the top off the defense that we can see right away. So maybe it's more accurate. It's where are you going to hit Curtis Samuel so that he can catch and get yards after the catch? Where is it for Khalil Shakir to catch and run? Those kind of things I think he's working on with fine-tuning the mechanic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Dan, what about his protection? Because that's a storyline this offseason. You're kind of revamping the offensive line. I want to know how McGovern has handled, you know, the shift over to center. And I, you know, when they drafted Cedric Van Pran-Granger, I thought to myself, you know, that guy could be your center if he shows up in minicamp, if he shows up at training camp. But it sounded like from McDermott's comments yesterday that Connor McGovern's done himself a nice job so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very surprised. We talked to Connor today. I didn't know that, like, he's a center. Like, he's been a center most of his life. And when he's been moved to guard for miscellaneous reasons, whether it was at Penn State or in Dallas or things like that, he's like, I always wanted to get back to center. He's like, I'm a natural center. And he said last year it was about, while Mitch made all the calls, he was helping Mitch make the calls. So, like, this isn't a guy that, like, this is new to him. And you heard Bean talk about it this offseason that, like, hey, when we signed Connor, we always kind of thought he could play center. Well, that was the light bulb in my head of, like, hey, we're going to sign this guy this year. We're going to let Mitch play, and then we can save some money letting Mitch go, and then we can slide this guy right in kind of thing. Like, that's how I think Bean thought it. Maybe it wasn't the plan A, but it was plan 2A. And so he's agreed that. I joked around with Connor today asking, like, what's it been like with Josh with your hands on your butt? Like, you know, Josh talked about how he got so comfortable with Mitch and how Mitch snaps it. And, you know, you're really close with that center. And he's had him for 5 years. And now it's somebody new. And he's like, yeah, it's just it's reps, getting to know where Josh is comfortable, getting to know all of those things. It's the most basic thing in football that we all take for granted, the snap from the center to the quarterback. But Josh has had the same guy for pretty much 5 years. So Connor has seemed to solidify that line in the center position. The rest we're still kind of figuring out because Spencer Brown has been in and out, and the defensive line looks ahead right now of the offensive line. There's no pads. We're all taking that with a grain of salt. So I can say McGovern has put some of my thoughts where I think we came on right after the draft and we talked about, hey, you know, there could be a new rookie center. I don't think that's the case as we sit right now.
We're talking to 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus. Dan Fates, our guest. Normally, Sean McDermott, day 3 minicamp. Okay, we got our work in, boys. Everybody go home. Enjoy your summer. Did he do that? Is there still practice tomorrow, Dan?
As of right now, there's practice tomorrow, which is something Mike and Jen and I talked about on Monday. We were like, that would say a lot, and that would be an overreaction. But because there's so many new pieces, because they've lost five captains from last year, maybe this is a time when they decide that they'll have the third day. You know, Sean was asked about what he would need to feel accomplished after this and then to have the break before training camp. And he talked about it's also getting the coaches. One, he talks about health. There's a few guys that are banged up that – whether it's Ray Davis, whether it's, you know, you got Baylen Spector's out, Khalil Shakir was nicked, all these things. But he also talked about there's also new coaches, right? So this is, does Joe Brady want the extra day of practice? Does Bobby Babbage want a day of maybe calling plays? What do they need to do that he said that they could have a menu on every player so that that coach can go home this offseason when training camp starts, say, I know what this player does well. I know what we got with this player. I know what we're going to do with this player. All of those things, as of right now, it hasn't been canceled. That has been the MO of this team for the last 5 to 6 years, as they have canceled the third day of OTAs. Everybody go home, enjoy your break. As of right now, they're still scheduled to have it tomorrow.
What's Matt Milano's status here? Does it feel like he'll be out in the field come training camp with no restrictions?
That's what it appears that he's trending. I know that's the favorite word that McDermott likes to say, moving in the right direction or trending and things like that. It was good to see him moving around. I got shots of him yesterday with the camera. Seemed to look similar to what we've seen out of a Matt Milano. Looks, you know, it's awesome to see him next to Terrell Bernard, because for the four games that they were together, they were so dominant early on in that season. But so far, so good. We haven't seen him do any team drills. He's just done individual work. So, but as of right now, he did do the drills again today, which was a good sign. Sean said on Tuesday that Wednesday was going to kind of be up in the air depending on how his body responded to the individual work. So the fact that he was back out in pads and a helmet again today was a good sign. Hasn't been with the team drills yet, but again, I would imagine the favorite word is trending in the right direction.
Dan, what do you think of an NFL quarterback that takes a vacation during mandatory minicamp, or for that matter, the head coach that seems to be mismanaging the situation?
Yeah, I think that's a whole lot of fun. it's so laid back, you know. I mean, it's not like that quarterback had been injured and had talked about how nothing would bother them and that football is the most important thing and that you have to leave like a vice presidential nomination and all that stuff off to the side. Yeah, and then, yeah, you know, obviously one guy that wears green just keeps everything very low-key and everything's going fine in New York, right?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, Dan, because on paper you look at that team and you look at their roster and you can make the argument that's the most talented roster in the AFC East, yet it feels like dysfunction runs rampant within New York, and I would say also somewhat in Miami as well. I mean, is that what the Bills are banking on here in a season where you look at their roster and you talk about that turnover and you think, well, it's not going to be so much the Bills winning as it's going to be everybody else beating themselves?
It's kind of what it feels like, right? And that's part of, we talked about, you know, is it a breath of fresh air without Stephon Diggs? But I also think it goes back to, was the juice worth the squeeze kind of stuff. Like, I've talked about that. I feel like the Bills and Sean McDermott are doubling down on culture. You know, they're choosing culture over talent in a ways in how they're trying to, as Brandon Bean talked about, transition year and things like that. That's kind of what it feels like, because on paper you're going, I'm not so sure how talented this Bills team is, but you just kind of have this calmness that you have Josh Allen and you have Sean McDermott and his defense, and that you're going to give yourself a puncher's chance to win 10, 11 games every year, because that's just what it's been like. And that hasn't been what you can trust in around the rest of the AFC East. So, you know, I also looked at Hassan Reddick holding out, where you let one of your defensive ends that was an up-and-coming guy walk to bring in Reddick, and now he's not showing up, and you have Rodgers, and where, you know, we all make this, you know, the media is the problem and all this stuff, and then he goes and then doesn't show up to mandatory minicamp. So, yeah, it's dysfunction seems to run rampant in the AFC East, and the Bills are the anomaly to that.
Dan, last one. It's a long year. I'm trying to pick you up now, my friend. Yeah, like the Braves, well, the Braves well, would be playing the Brewers today.
Young guys, I really appreciate it.
Dan, when they won the World Series, they were below 500 July 1st. Yeah. What is the problem? Once they start hitting and this dumb format, look, baseball made this format. As long as you start hitting in September, you're going to be fine. I would not want to be playing the Braves come September or October, for that matter, if I'm the Phillies or the Dodgers.
Yeah, I actually talked to Bean about this. He was walking off the field today, and all he said to me was, "We stink." That was his words to me, because Bean's a big Braves fan. Listen, I know you can't try and be somebody you're not as a team, and this team just hasn't faced a ton of adversity over the last 3 years. They just look like a team that does not care. And maybe it's they've lost their best pitcher, they've lost their best player. They just seem like a team that has no heart right now. And if you follow my Twitter, that's what this team looks like. It's a whole bunch of leadoff triples and then strikeout, pop-up, ground out. And it's infuriating that nobody can slam a bat. Nobody wants to get tossed. Nobody wants to show any emotion. Nobody wants to try and steal a base. Nobody wants to try and manufacture a run. It's just a sad, sad baseball team to watch right now, and I'm not well.
Called them unrecognizable, I think was the word that you used. Yeah. I mean, that's tough, yeah. Dan. Set us up for what you got going here at BuffaloPlus.com. What's on tap?
Yeah, we did a video yesterday, Mike, Jenna, and I. It was kind of what you guys were talking about. We talked about is Josh Allen an alpha? And that can be broken into multiple different things, but we recapped day one of mandatory minicamp. So that's up there right now. And again, it's not questioning whether Josh is a leader, but again, you have alphas and you have leaders. Steph Curry is a leader. Draymond Green is an alpha. Things like that. How does that all shake out? And is that what this Bills team will need this year, or what do they need for Josh leadership-wise? That video is up right now on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Today I recorded a video with Matt Beauvais of WKBW. He's one of good friends, friend of the Buffalo Plus channel. We broke down what we saw today. Kyer Elam's good showing. James Cook, another drop. Tyler Bass missed some field goals.
Oh boy.
Things like that. That video will all be up tomorrow morning on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel.
All right, Dan. Well, let's do this again sometime over the summer here. We'll get your thoughts. And, you know, if you...
Is this what it's like to be a Mets fan? Is this what it's like?
It's I want everybody off the team. Do you want everybody off the Braves right now? I want trade Alonso. Trade what? Do you want Diaz? Everybody gone. Okay, there can't be any worse. I hate. Although Dan, when you do get the win, I jumped out of my chair on the ending double play Sunday morning. Yeah. I was so excited when they beat the Phillies, and I'm like, wow, this is the first time I've actually cheered for my team this year. So there is hope, Dan.
Hope.
Secret to happiness in life, Dan. You know this. Manage expectations, buddy. Manage expectations.
That's the problem, is that my expectations were a World Series, and now it's like, do we want to make the wild? That's where I'm at, guys. It's not good. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Dan Fates, 13 Wham Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. Spending some time with us and recapping today's practice, Bills mandatory minicamp.
I'm guessing we'll have practice tomorrow. If I'm Sean McDermott, why not? Why not? This is a young team where you have all this, you have a schmozzle of receivers right now. What would be the harm of actually saying, guys, we're going to get in some more work tomorrow?
The coaches, too. I mean, you need Brady and you need Babich to get reps. They need the time with the players. They need to evaluate all these new faces.
Teams value practice. Why would you throw a day away?
I wouldn't. It makes sense, especially if yesterday was as rough as it was reported. If yesterday looked as rough as it was reported, you just earned yourself an extra day of practice. We got to tighten things up before we make this official at training camp, which will be the next step once they close mandatory minicamp here. Dan Fates stopping by. Appreciate him giving us some time. Happy hour next in the sports bar. We'll talk a little bit more about that dysfunction in New York. A legend has passed in the NBA. A Game 3 preview between the Celtics and the Mavericks. A round of shots.
And are we letting Rory back in?
I have thoughts on that as well, Gino. We'll get to all of that in your calls at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're
listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.